Amen. I'm glad to see you. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Go ahead and sit down. Sit down. Hey, praise the Lord. Sit down. Sit down. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's good to be here at Hiles Anderson College. Is this on? All righty. I'm glad to be here with you folks. Is this on here? Am I on? All right, can you hear me fine? All right, praise the Lord. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad to be here on Brother Mitchell's birthday. It's awesome. Brother Mitchell, seriously, is one of the finest men you'll ever meet. He really is. A fine man, sincere, diligent, hardworking, can handle a whole bunch of stuff at once, puts up with the college kids every day. Amen. Happy birthday, man. That's exciting. He's humble. He would never bring attention to his birthday, but some of the rest of us would. And he's humble. He doesn't say anything about his birthday, but at my church, I always tell the people it's my birthday. When I'm preaching, I say, August 9th, 19, none of your business. I say, I was born, it's a national holiday. And but Brother Mitchell doesn't do that, but I do, all right? So praise the Lord. But happy birthday, man. I've known Brother Mitchell for many years, and really, truly, he's one of the finest men you'll ever meet. A tremendous man, a great guy. You students are fortunate to have him here, and he's a very capable man, can handle many things at one time, and just a tremendous fellow. And the thing is, he's just quiet and humble, and so most people don't really know all that he does. I'm sure I don't know all he does, but he does a great job. I hear nothing but good about him. It's tremendous. And I'm glad to be here with you students. I'll tell you what, I love y'all. I'm glad you're here at Hiles Anderson College. Fellas, get a wife while you're here. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So find a wife. I found my wife here. Beautiful red-headed woman. She has beautiful red hair, good looking. Put up with me for more than 40 years now. She's a good woman. You'll find one like that here at Hiles Anderson. Amen? Amen, girls? All right. You don't need one? Okay, all right. This girl needs a husband. Oh, man, volunteers everywhere. You can have your pick. You can have your pick. There are volunteers all over. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Last Friday, we had a youth rally at our church over in Rochester, Indiana, and Brother Wilkerson was gracious and came over and preached for us, and it was a snowstorm. I mean, the weather was nasty, the roads were terrible, and he still came, and we still had the youth rally. Anish, where are you at? Oh, there he is. He came over there, too, and the weather was terrible, wasn't it? Cold, icy roads and all that, so the crowd wasn't as big as we would like it to be, but we had a good crowd there, and Brother Wilkerson preached for us, and had, in a snowstorm, two teenagers got saved. One made assurance of salvation. The altar was full of people making decisions for Christ and getting things right with God. And so I got to watch out and not go off the edge here. And if I go off of here, just say he fell at the altar. He's getting right with God. Amen. And you know, people don't know God works in the middle of snowstorms and everything else. It doesn't matter. God is able. Weather doesn't mean anything to God. You know, Charles Spurgeon, when he was a teenage boy, was trying to get to one church in a snowstorm, and he couldn't get there because the snowstorm was so bad. He ducked into a church that was there. The pastor of the church could not even make it because the weather was so bad. And a deacon, I think it was a deacon, stood up and he preached, it looked to Christ. And he pointed to Spurgeon. He said, young man, look to Christ, look to Christ. And Spurgeon said, that night I did look to Christ, and he got saved in a snowstorm. So you never know. Don't cut back because of the weather. Amen. You got to be careful out there, but go after it because people get saved in snowstorms too. Amen. Did you find Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6? You find it? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. And if you would, read it with me. Ready? I didn't even start. I just said, ready. Okay. Bam, 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 bam. <That's right. laughs> I love preaching here. Yeah, I do. Let's try it again. In all thy ways, oh, okay. This time, do it with me, okay? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Do it again. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. A little verse with 12 words in it, and it's in two parts. The first part is, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Second part, and he shall direct thy path. Let's say it, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, young people, I'm going to take some time and show you today how come you get discouraged. You know, in college, you can get discouraged easy, okay? School bill comes. You're going, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or the guy you want to marry, he goes with somebody else, all right, young lady? You. She will never speak to me again as long as she lives. But, hey, how you doing? What is your name? What is it? Allie? Allie. Are you a senior? Junior? Freshman? Sophomore. Okay, sophomore. Allie the sophomore. All right, let's say it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, from time to time we get discouraged. We go to the job and we deal with stuff on the job. It's discouraging. Sometimes we deal with a roommate and it's discouraging. And especially that roommate that wears footy pajamas. You know, that's a tough thing there. But here's the thing, everybody gets discouraged from time to time. Everybody gets down. Somebody gets depressed, and I'm not talking clinically depressed. I'm talking about we just get down, you know, and we have frustrations, and we just look at it, and things aren't turning out the way we want it to turn out, and it just seems like everything's falling apart, and we just don't know what to do about this. But the Bible says, in all thy ways, the Bible says, now, I'm going to show you today one of the reasons why we get so discouraged is because of this verse here. Now, the verse doesn't discourage us, okay? But what it's teaching us, what is it? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Two parts of it. Now, you folks over here are going to be the first part, okay? The first six words, okay? First six words. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Try it again. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And you folks have the second part of the verse. And he shall direct thy path. Well, there's nothing else after that. Is okay. All right? And what your part is? Okay. No. You're not on this. You're the second half. Okay? All right, now here's the thing. We have these two parts to this verse, and the first part is, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You know, the thing is that this little 12-word verse teaches us how to keep from being frustrated and upset.
All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he
You see, the thing is that first part... Y'all are insane, you know that? The first part is our part, okay? That's our part. What is it? That first part is our part. We're supposed to acknowledge God in everything we do, in all of our ways, we're supposed to acknowledge Him. Okay, the second part, that's God's part of it. Is that a song or something? Is that Brother Howell's song? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. All right, now you got that out of your system. It's not working out like I thought, Brother Mitchell. Okay, the first part is... The first part is... Second part is... Okay, and we got it. So the first part is our part. The second part is God's part. So what's the first part? No. The first part is our part. The first part is... The first part is... The second part is... The second part is... Okay, so the first part is... The second part is... The first part is, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Okay. And so, now here's the thing. Our responsibility in life is to acknowledge God. Our responsibility in life is to go ahead and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Our responsibility in life is to go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to acknowledge God's word. I'm going to read it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to memorize it. And I'm going to follow God's will on this. And that's our part of it. Our part is to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Our part is to obey the Lord. Are you following me here? And so the first part, that's whose part? That's our part. We're supposed to acknowledge God. We're supposed to pay attention to Him. We're supposed to listen to Him. We're supposed to seek the Holy Spirit and ask Him to lead us and guide us. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to walk with God. We're supposed to acknowledge God in all and how many of our ways? All of our ways. That means everything. Who are you going to marry? And you know what? We're supposed to acknowledge Him in everything. Every area of our life, we should ask God first. Did you hear me? What do we do? Ask God first. What do we do? Okay. We are to ask God first about everything. Here's the thing. What happens so often, though, is that we don't acknowledge God. We don't pay attention to Him. We're not listening to Him. We're not following His guiding. We're not following His word. We're not following Him. But our part is what? Now, God's part is? It's God's part. It's His responsibility to guide us and to lead us and direct us in the right path. It's not our job to guide us and direct us and to lead us in the path. It is God's job to lead us and to guide us and direct us in our path. Our part is, God's part is, I'm going to ask God when we get to heaven if He had clapping at the end of that verse or not. I'm going to ask Him when I get to heaven. Is that the way that really works? And so here's the thing. We are supposed to acknowledge God, and He's supposed to direct our paths. You know, the thing is this. Stand up here. Stand up right here. Stand up here in the middle. Stand up in the middle. Stand up right here. 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 Stand up. Stand up. Stand up right here. Stand up right here. Stand up right here. You can sit down. You can stand up right here. No, no, no. Make a straight path here. Straight line. Get in there. Go ahead. Come on. Get in a straight line. Okay. Oh, we need a man to fill in the gap. I need a man to fill in the gap right here. There we go. Yeah, there we go. All right, we need a man to stand in the gap. Now, what is our part? God's part? Now, here's the thing. What happens is we ought to go ahead and just build a fence there, because what so often we do is we try to go over on God's side and do His part. And we need to have a fence there that keeps us from stepping over to God's side. Are you following me here? This is the ugly fence. See, what we do is so often, the reason why we get upset all the time, the reason we're discouraged, the reason that we get upset is because we leave our side and we try to get on God's side. And we leave our responsibility and try to take God's responsibility. And what we're doing is we're trying to jump over here, and we don't want to direct our path. We want to plan our life, and we want to do what we want to do. We're going to live the way we want to live and do it the way we want. And I'm going to tell you, and by the way, there's some people who think they're good Christians, but they're not. They're trying to do God's job. You know, it doesn't matter how good a Christian you are. You're not God. Did you hear me? You're not God. You don't know what's going to happen in life. You don't know what the future is. You don't even know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. Now, we think we know. We think we're going to end chapel, and then we're going to go eat lunch and all that. But the Lord could come. Y'all not excited about that, huh? The Lord could come. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Lord could come. Now, wait a minute. We don't know what the future holds. God does. God knows everything. There's nothing He doesn't know. Now, God knows everything. Therefore, what we need to do in our lives is build a fence and say, I'm going to stay on my side. I live next door to a little old granny lady. My wife and I, we live right next to a little old granny, and she has a little, one of those little dash hound dogs. He's about this tall, this long. And this little lady, she has absolutely nothing to do in her life. So she tries to get in our life. It's funny. Because we have a fence between us. Amen. But she's not satisfied with staying on her side of the fence. She likes to come over on my side of the fence. One day I came home, and her name is Joy, and she's a saved lady, and I love her, but she's just nosy. And she doesn't stay on her side. So one day I came home and I got out of the car and I look, and there's Joy with her little dog that's this tall and that long. And she's on my side of the fence, and it's one of those vinyl fences, a white vinyl fence. And she's on my side of the fence with a bucket, and she's cleaning it with a brush. She's scrubbing it down. I said, hey, Joy. Hello. I said, what's up? Well, your side of the fence is all dirty. If I want a dirty fence, I can have a dirty fence. What Joy does is she comes on my side of the fence and tries to fix things. She comes on our side of the fence. One time I was sick. She knows that we go to church. She knows, obviously, I'm the pastor, witness to her, and she knows. But one Sunday I was sick, and I was home. You feel bad for me? And I was sick, and I couldn't go to church. And so I got up, and I looked out the window, and here's Joy coming around with the little dog is this tall and that long. She comes around there, and she's looking through my yard. She's looking through the yard, and she's trimming bushes. And this was on a Sunday morning. And I opened the door. We have a sliding glass door on the back that leads out onto a little deck. And I opened the door. I said, "Joy, are you okay?" She goes, "Oh!" Now, you know what happens so often, though? We go on God's side of the fence. And we're trying to fix things for God. We get on God's side of the fence, and we're trying to get everything in order. And we get on God's side of the fence, and we're trying to direct the path. And we get on God's side of the fence, and we're trying to do what we want to happen. And we pray, "Lord," we get on this side of the fence, and we say, "Lord, now this is what I want to have happen. Now make it happen. Lord, this is how I want my life to be planned. Now make it that way." Everybody with me here? And we need to just go back on our side of the fence. Okay, Lord, I'm just going to acknowledge you, and you guide me, you lead me, you take care of it, you show me which way to go, and you have, what is it? Our side is? And God's side is? All right. If you didn't clap, I'd be hurt. You know, Brother Mitchell, I have never preached where I've got clapped for more often than today. I'll tell you what, it just happened more than... Y'all are insane. Now, what's our part? God's part? Now, we need to stay on our side of the fence and quit getting on God's side of the fence. The reason why we get so discouraged and upset is because we make the plans for our life that we want to happen, and our plans never include heartache, trouble, trial, problem. Ours is always perfect. We try to live in a fairy tale land. There was one time a princess, and she was captured by this dragon. And the king says, "Oh no, what are we going to do? We need to rescue the princess." Now, what kind of a king is he that he doesn't know what to do? He's supposed to be in charge of the army. Can't he take his army and go? I mean, you know. But anyway, it's like, "Oh, what are we going to do? If any young man can rescue my daughter, she will be his wife." And so the handsome prince comes riding up on his steed. He says, "I'll save her." He goes and takes the dragon, takes his sword out. The dragon is shooting fire at him. He's got his shield. He works closer and closer. He kills the dragon. He rescues the princess. And because they went to Hiles Anderson, he had an extra horse, and she had to ride her own horse back. But... But what happened? They ride back to the castle. There's a wonderful marriage. The prince and the princess are married, and they... Right? You know what happens? We have all our plans of how it's going to work out, and we plan that we're going to live... And so what happens, we put up our plans against reality and it doesn't match. And so what happens, sometimes we get bitter. "God, what are you doing to me? I want to have this. What are you doing? Why is this in my life?" And God says, "Wait a minute. I'm the one planning your life, okay?" What we do, oh, by the way, when you get married. By the way, fellas, girls, what happens is some guy say, "I want this and this and this and this and this and this and this in a girl." He's got his list. He goes, "Check it off, check it off, check it off." One time a young man came to me, he said, "Brother McSpadden, this is what I'm looking for in a wife." I looked at his list, I go, "Wow, if you ever find her, she'll never marry you." This is incredible. But you know what we do? Is we have our list. And everything's got to fit by that list. And with, boy, and then our list is perfection, but when you put the list up against reality, God says, "You know, I know that sometimes you're going to need some trouble to make you strong." And God says, "I know sometimes you're going to need some trials so that you learn how to pray." And God says, "I'm going to sometimes give you a rough road to travel so that you can learn to trust me and depend on me and increase your faith." Now, we wouldn't put the rough road, and we wouldn't put the trial, and we wouldn't put the hardship. We wouldn't put that in our life. What happens? We make it perfect. And what happens? We put it up against reality, and then we get frustrated. We get mad at God. We get upset. We get discouraged. We quit. We say, what's the use? I tried being a Christian, and look what I'm going through. This isn't working out like I had planned. Anybody here? I'm going to Hiles Anderson College. I'm so excited. Brother Mitchell, I'm going to Hiles Anderson College. Brother Stubblefield, I'm going to Hiles Anderson College. Oh, my soul, it's going to be perfect. I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to be in a Christian place where everybody loves God and where everybody's a good Christian and everything's perfect, and the teachers are going to take my test for me. You know what happens? You come to college expecting it to be one way, and all of a sudden your list and reality are different. Hello? You know what happens? We do this in our life so often. Oh, I'm going to get the perfect job. I only have to work 10 hours a week, but I make $100,000 a year. And my boss is just going to do whatever I tell. He's just going to let me do whatever. And I'm going to go to the job, and everything's going to be perfect, and it's all going to be right. And then you go to the job, and reality hits. You know, wait a minute. This doesn't match, God. I didn't plan this on my job. What? What, God? You know what happens? You keep getting on the other side of the fence. And we need to stay on our side of the fence. What is our side? God will make the plans, and God will deal with it. And by the way, if you let Him do it, you will be blessed, you will be happy, you will have a good life, you will have a wonderful, wonderful ministry. But we've got to stay on our side of the fence. When I first became a pastor, I thought everybody's going to like me. Because I grew up in church. My dad wasn't a pastor, but we liked the pastor. And so I got to be a pastor. I found out everybody doesn't like me. Can you imagine a cute, cuddly little guy like me? And they don't like me? What? What is this? You know what? I have been in the ministry now for 46 years, Brother Mitchell. I know that's old. And you know what? I love every minute of it. I think it's wonderful. I wouldn't do anything else in the world. I get up every day and I go, I am a Baptist pastor. I'm going to win people to the Lord. I'm going to preach. I'm going to go to college and persecute the student. I mean, help the students there. It's wonderful. I love what I do. It's wonderful. But you know what? It will be wonderful. Look, when I was a student sitting in this chapel and I listened to the preachers, I had no idea what God had planned for me. I had no idea. But now I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want. And you know what? Now through the years, I've been going along and it has been absolutely fabulous. Because things have taken place there's no way I could have ever done. What is it? Now, here's the thing. Stay on your side of the fence. Stay on your side. What's our side? What's God's side? I'm going to tell you what. It's going to be so much better for you if you would just come to the place where you say, Lord, I'm not going to make any plans here. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Lord, I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to listen to you. I want to follow you, I want to obey you, and then God will direct your path. And then the day will come when you'll be old like me and you'll look back on the path and say, wow, I have had a wonderful life. This is fabulous. Why? Because young people, thank you, Fence. You've been the best ugly fence I ever had. Thank you. Let's sing it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Brother Mitchell. God bless you, man.
All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've got a few minutes, and let's sing on the chorus list, song number 10, Christ is All I Need. If you'd like to use the altar, go ahead. Great thoughts today.
Christ is all I need. Christ is all.